There's nothing like the presence of the Lord. Can I get a witness? Every devil has to get out of our way. Every stronghold has no place, no power. At the name of Jesus, demons tremble. When we shout his name, I'm telling you what, something happens. All my problems drop powerlessly behind me. Some of y'all was focusing on something when you came in, and now you can't even remember what it was. just one scripture. Ah, hallelujah. Are you all ready to read? For we fix our eyes on, but on what is, since what is, but. All right. I need y'all to stay right there before we sit down and pray. I want to talk about the eternal perspective, because somebody right now, because some people right now, you are in a place to where you are worshiping a God that you don't physically see, but in the spirit realm and in your heart, you know he's there and his presence is there, and you can see what he's doing, not only in the atmosphere, but on the inside of you. So because some come into worship, and I'm gonna preach, I guarantee you. But some people come into a place of worship, and they're like, man, why are people's hands going up? And why are people crying? And why are people, like, you know, so like they looking at somebody? You know, they can't relate until you have a relationship. Woo! But I'm so glad that he called us his sons, his daughters. I'm so glad he called us. I'm so glad he placed his anointing upon us. And we are just right for what God wants to deposit in our hearts today. So Father, speak to us today. We are here with our hearts open. We're ready to receive all that you have for us. So I thank you, God, that our focus is not on the seen, but it's on the unseen. We're fixing our eyes upon you, God. You're doing something in us, and it's so special, and we embrace it. We don't push it away, but we embrace all the, and even the ones that say, well, I'm not used to this. Father, may we flow out of the norm into what you want us to do. Thank you for men raising their hand. Even if they're just halfway right now, they'll be all the way up one day. I thank you, God, for cool people begin to worship you like David did, unapologetically. Woo! Thank you, God, for you're doing a new thing. So speak to us today, and we give you praise, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And somebody shout hallelujah, amen. Give him one more praise before you take your seats. Hallelujah! 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 Woo-hoo. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I feel his presence today, folks. I just absolutely do. So every year, Abundant Faith celebrates students and graduates and education from schools of all level and people of all ages, and family and friends and even businesses gladly encourage students on their way to a successful future and a successful life. It's one of the highlights of our ministry each year. And oftentimes, after we give them gifts, I'll ask them this thought-provoking question. I'll say, so my friend, what you gonna do next? And some will say, well, Pastor, I'm just glad to be out of school. I'm going to chill for a while. And others say, well, I'm going to go to college. And some say, I'm going to go and I'm going to study hard in college, and I'm also going to party hardy. I'm going to have a good time, but I'm going to get my degree. And I ask them, well, then what? Well, after I get my degree, I'll get a good job. And I'll make lots of money. And I asked them, then what? They're sounding good so far. And then it says, I'll buy a house and a car, and the car that I've always wanted. And then I said, well, then what? And they said, then I'll get married and either have one or two kids, because, you know, kids are expensive. And I said, well, then what? I'll buy more property. You're glad to have these individuals that are motivated like that and build bigger house and, you know, have my own business. And I said, and then what? Because they okay right now. And then one said, I'll make more and more money. I'm going to make Jay-Z money. I said, okay, all right. I said, well, then what? He said, I guess I'll retire and travel the world, grow old, get fat, and die. And I said, well, and then what? He scratched his head and said, well, I hadn't really thought about that. And oftentimes we spend more time focused on planning for the temporal than we do the eternal. When the eternal is more important than the temporal. Can I get a good amen? Amen. It's imperative that we remember that death is not the end. Say it with me, death is not the end. And oftentimes we live our life as if death was the end, but death is not the end. I had the opportunity to share the gospel with this particular individual, and, you know, because the good news is that we can have eternal life and live with joy, peace, and love, and live that life that Jesus promised us till it overflows. And, well, after I preached the good news to him, man, he wanted that life. He received salvation and eternal life. And I want you to know that the world is waiting for us to share the good news of the gospel with them. Can I get a good amen in the house? Somebody give God praise in this place. That's why I titled this message Eternal Perspective, because to be truthful, God wants us to have an eternal perspective. And let me start here that an eternal perspective begins with an eternal God. Say it with me, an eternal perspective begins with an eternal God. Some say, Pastor, well, define that. Well, Genesis helps define it better than I can. He says, in the beginning, God. And now, if we didn't go any further, that would mess a lot of folks up. It messed me up. And as I was, you know, preparing the message, man, I had to stop many times and do nothing but just worship God and say, fall on my knees and say, God, you're an awesome God. That's why when I say how great is our God, it's more than just a song. Our God is, he's great. He's awesome. He's amazing. There's none like him. Thank you, God. So Genesis says, in the beginning, God. So God stepped out on nothing, darkness, void, empty, and even darkness, even his spirit was hovering over the waters. And God saw this darkness. This is how amazing our God is. God opened his mouth and spoke and said, let there be light. Light showed up. You mean to tell me he said, let there be light, and light obeyed his voice? In the beginning, God. When we hear the word God, and I'm going to try to move on, but God, the word God here in the Hebrew word is Yahweh. And in that day, many times they didn't even want to speak his name because it was such an awe. And it was like, Yahweh. Because they understood that in the beginning, God, that he is eternal. So I love what the passage in the book of Psalms says. It says, you know, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now, some people wonder, well, who are you worshiping? We're worshiping Yahweh, the self-existent one. I'm not going through the motions. I'm not coming to look cute. No, I came to worship Yahweh, God. In the beginning, help me out. He told Moses, he said, Moses, I want you to go and tell him that, tell him I sent you. And he said, well, who should I say? Who is? He says, I am sent you. And he says, well, you know, how will I am? I am who I am. In other words, I don't even have to explain it. I don't have to convince anybody, validate anybody. No, I don't have to explain it to nobody. Just say, I am sent you. How many of you all know if he's the I am God, that means we the I am kids? tell him I am, not man. No need for validation, no need for explanation. I don't even have to defend my existence. I am. Thank you, God. I love this next passage. It was, and it goes on and talks about, this is Revelations 1, 8. It says, I am Alpha, which means the beginning. I am Omega, the end. And he goes on and says, I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. In other words, I know all, I see all, and I have all power. I'm omnipotent. And I know it blows some of us away, and it made me think, because I was like saying, man, we serve an awesome God. How great is our God? Somebody give your great God a praise even right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I talk about he doesn't need to defend his existence because he's a self-existent one. There was an individual, an atheist, and I like atheists, I do. So he was, an atheist was coming to church. And at the end of service, you know, he came to me and says, hey, I just want you to know I'm an atheist. I didn't even ask him, but he wanted me to know. But he had been coming fairly regularly. And finally he says, man, I'd like to meet with you. And I said, okay, you know, I'm thinking, I don't know what it's going to be about per se, but I kind of had an idea. Holy Spirit gave me. So I set up a meeting, you know, and we in my office, and he says, I don't believe in God. And I was like, okay. Then he said, here's why. He began to break it down to me. And I said, well, that's good and all. Thinking to myself, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So I didn't want to elaborate on it. I didn't bring that scripture up right then. But after we talked for a while, you know, I showed him some love. And then I said, then why do you want to meet with me? Because if you don't, I'm not trying to force you. I just preach the gospel. And why did you want a meeting with me? And he kind of held his head down. And I said, well, can I tell you why you wanted a meeting with me? Said, you wanted a meeting with me because you wanted me to explain to you and help you understand the feeling that you have inside, that this emptiness, that you know that the way you're going is not, there's no end to it, you're not being fulfilled by it, and there's a hole in your heart that only God can fill. And you know, even though you say out of your mouth there is no God, but you know there is a God. Man. He dropped his head and began to cry. I said, well, today you don't have to leave the same way you came in. You don't have to. The Bible says that the grace of God that reveals salvation has appeared unto all men. That means you too. That means that, you know, eternity, he's placed eternity in all of our hearts, even the ones that don't even know it. That's what it is on the inside. That man gave his heart to God. Can I let you know that atheists don't want to be atheists? Come on, give God a real big shout in this place. Isaiah said this, sixth chapter, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, and I don't know why it is that death kind of opens our eyes, it causes us to be more receptive to, you know, eternity and having an eternal perspective, but the Bible says that Isaiah wrote in the year that King Uzziah died, and King Uzziah was a prosperous king. Almost everything he touched turned to gold. He was so blessed until he got caught up in pride, arrogance, and haughtiness. And then he became the leprous king and died of leprosy. And when I think of his story, you know, Isaiah said, man, this dude, he was balling. He had it going on. God was with him until he got lifted up, and then he got off track. And he says, I saw God during that year that he died. Something about watching man and their pride fall, because every person that thinks they're all that, they won't always be there. They got to go the same path that everyone else does. And he says that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a throne. And his train filled the temple. He was high and lifted up. And I saw angels, and they were going forth. Some were covering their eyes and their face and their feet, and some were flying. And their what was coming out of their mouth was, holy, 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 holy are you, God. That's why when the Spirit of God comes upon us, no person can take credit. No person is on display. It's all about him. I mean, if you know what I'm talking, I mean, bless him real big in this house. Come on, let's praise him. He's God. So can I share with you as a point A, he is the King eternal. He is, no doubt about it. He was seated high. He saw this vision of him, and he was seated on the throne. And not only is he the eternal king, because there are a lot of kings, but you hear us talk about, you know, kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. But his kingdom will never pass away. I thank God for him. 1 Timothy 1:17, it says this, all honor and glory to God forever. He is the King eternal. He is, no doubt about it, nobody else. And no, guess what? The King eternal, you know, has a kingdom. Are y'all with me? The eternal king has an eternal kingdom, and we are eternal citizens of the eternal kingdom. Did you all get that? The eternal king, and this is the one that we worship, has an eternal kingdom, which is the eternal realm, the unseen realm. And I'm trying my best to make this as clear as I can. And in that unseen realm, things take place in the kingdom realm. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. The book of Hebrews, and it's probably not on the screen, if it is, fine. Hebrews 11 and 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Not seen doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Not seen means you just don't see it. There are a whole lot of things taking place in the unseen realm. Are y'all with me today? So unseen does not mean non-existent. So on the earth, we focus on what we see. Can I just, yeah, just, that's why, brothers, you can't always go based upon what you see. Few of y'all brothers said amen, not many said thank God for what we see, hallelujah. But can I let you know, what you see is temporal. Let me say it one more time, what you see. All kind of curves. Can I let you know that's temporal? Oh, y'all don't like me today. Let me flip it for a minute. Sisters, what you see is temporal. He may be shaped like an upside down triangle right now. She may look like a Coke bottle right now. But moving on. That's why that passage says, for we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporal, but what is unseen is eternal, even when it comes to all the stuff that we get. You know, houses, cars, boats, clothing, shoes, all that. It's all temporal. And isn't it something that we would spend our whole life chasing the temporal as opposed to chasing the one who is eternal? Going hard after him. Saying, God, I want to live for you fully and completely and totally, God. Thank you, God. So therefore, again, I gotta make sure you that in order to have an eternal perspective, help me out. It begins with what? An eternal God. And then to know that he is an eternal king with an eternal kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to fix our eyes upon him. And we dwell in that eternal kingdom. We're citizens of heaven. We're just pilgrims and strangers passing through this place. Thank you, God. I know some say, Pastor, man, this is kind of deep for us. But can I let you know that you're not just a human. You are a spirit being that you're having an earthly experience. So let me let you know, the scripture says that we are spirit, soul, and body. Spirit means we've been, you know, that's our spirit man. It's the alive part of us, the spiritually alive part of us. You know, pneuma is the Greek word. And also it's translated from the Hebrew word as well. Pneuma, breath being blown into our bodies. And then we are have a soul. Every man possesses man or woman, man meaning not gender, but man and woman. Therefore, they have a mind, a will, emotions, intellect, imagination. And then they dwell in an earth suit called a body. And most of us pay most of our attention to the body. And you're only going to use a body while you're on earth. You only need your earth suit while you're on earth. One day, this stuff is going to perish. But guess what? It won't be the end of me. It won't be the end of you. If you believe it, give him praise in this house. There was a man that came to Jesus by night. His name was Nicodemus, and came to him because he had saw something different than he'd ever seen before. He says, Teacher, I know that you come from God, and because no one could do these signs that you do except God was with them. And even in the presence of God, you see certain things. That's just God with us, no doubt about it. And he says, and Jesus responds to the teacher, responds to, because also Nicodemus was a teacher as well. And he responds, he says, now check this out. This is John 3:3. And he says, very truly, I tell you, no one can, help me out, see the kingdom of God unless, all the things that we're talking about, the heavenly vision, seeing in the supernatural realm, seeing the Lord seated on a throne, seeing the hand of God move in so many amazing ways, seeing a kingdom with the king sitting there. He says, I don't understand what's going on. And Jesus looks at him and says, nobody can see the kingdom unless you've been born again. In other words, there's a whole nother place of dwelling. There's a whole nother realm. You can see with these eyes, you can see the seen, but that's in the natural realm. But there's an unseen realm. Are you all with me today? Have any of you all ever asked God to open your eyes, open your spiritual eyes? So you can see in the spiritual realm. I was with one dude, and I'd invited him to church, and he gladly came with me, and he saw everybody's looking around. You know, sometimes they just come and just look around because it's different to them. They'd never seen that before. And he said, so why are you all raising your hands? Why is your mom dancing and shouting all over? What kind of tongue is she speaking in? I mean, all kind of stuff was going on. I remember that he said, so I don't really understand it. And I begin to recognize that this is foreign to him because he's in a different realm. Yeah. I'm looking in the natural realm, but not in the spiritual realm. And I can't look into the spiritual realm, y'all better hear me today, unless I'm born again. Nicodemus says, well, how can I be born again? Must I enter again into my mother's womb? Oh, no, no, no. Silly rabbit. Tricks are for kids. Come on. He didn't say exactly that. He said, no, you can't be enter your mom's womb again. No, 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 no. You must be, what's born of flesh is flesh, but what's born of spirit is spirit. I tell you again, you got to be born again. Can I let you know that we can be in church and not be born again? Just as carnal as we ever, as anybody. I want to let you know why, as I'm your pastor and I love you so much that I don't want to see you sit here and not be born again, because Jesus Christ is coming back again. He's coming back again. Somebody give him praise in this house. So again, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, let's praise him all together then. Hallelujah. And then Nicodemus and Jesus continue conversation, and he says that, you know, just like the wind blows, he tries to break it down, just like the wind blows, and you know not know where it's coming or where it's going, but he says, you know, you've got to be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. And in this day and time, more people are so engaged, but they want the spiritual. They just don't understand that's what they want. But they're engaged in what they see. That's why people spend so much money on clothes, on outfits, and on name brands. And why? I'm focusing on the scene, but the scene is not the important thing. Some say, oh, Pastor, you just shut down. I'm shutting down now. Mess with my stuff. It's only stuff. It's going to burn up. Man, oh, man. Outward looks, they're going to be gone. But the inward man, inward person is renewed day by day. I've been married 43 years. And I thank God for that. And even though we get older, we grow older together. Now, I've never been this old before. But we've changed on the outside some degree, you know, and we fight in age. How do you mean by that? I'm not trying to get a pot belly. I'm jogging, trying to put the right things in my body. But even then, you know, these pants get tighter. I don't know what's up with that. But even though the outside may change, the inside is being renewed day by day, day by day. Can I let you know it's something to be renewed day by day? Why does it say day by day? Because we need to be renewed on a regular basis. And we need our minds renewed. Because sometimes we get old stinking thinking. Where's it come from? The TV, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, is that TikTok, Tic-Tac, one of them, and what's going to happen is it gets in your head and you forget about that this stuff is all eternal. You won't even remember the arguments that you got into, that you were arguing about nothing. I don't believe in getting into a whole bunch of stuff over a bunch of nothing, because in a few years from now, you won't even know what you was arguing about. It's temporal. Fighting over stuff, man, moving on. He said this stuff is coming, it's going. Let me wrap this up. To Pastor, you know, they're saying, well, Pastor, that's good about eternity, and eternity is fine, but what about now? I'm glad you asked. To maximize your earthly experience, you must have an eternal perspective. What does that mean? If you really want to have a good earthly experience, you got to view it from the proper perspective. Well, what does that mean? That means that you need to hold loosely to everything in this world. That means that, and some say, I got real quiet in the materialistic section. I ain't giving up nothing. All this stuff is blessed. I didn't say don't enjoy it. Enjoy it for the moment that you're here, but you can't hold to it and cling to it. Ain't nobody taking nothing with you. Won't give you person in need something. We're at a place now at Abundant Faith where we enjoy giving as a church. There's other nations being, because of your giving, we're able to give to other nations and people that are starving and people that don't have food. Why? God has blessed us. What good would it do for us just to hoard it up and say, well, I got all this in the bank? No, our goal, our desire is to do the kingdom business while we're on the earth because we're just passing through. Somebody bless him real big in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. To maximize your earthly experience, hallelujah, you need to recognize one more time that we're spirit beings having an earthly experience. Thank you, Lord. We need to recognize that there is more to what you see, and there's more to life than what you see. There's more to you than what you see. If I was to say that, I'd say there's more to me than what I see. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I love what Peter says about our election and how we're called and how we are, if you will, our purpose on the earth. He says, make your calling and election sure. Says, because if you do these things, you'll never fall. Says, then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Well, how does that look? I like what Paul said. He says he has so much to say on the eternal perspective. He says that to live is Christ, and help me out, to die is gain. Man. In the book of James, it says, what is life but a vapor? I mean, it's short compared to eternal. We gotta have an eternal perspective. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. A few years ago, I took a ministry team with me to New York. We had to speak there, and the people were very nice. They treated us amazing. We felt the love, no doubt about it. But I still felt a little bit out of place. You know, I couldn't speak the language. I couldn't. You know, I could speak a little bit of French, but oui. Jeremy was, I mean, he was grabbing everything. He was eating it up. I couldn't relate to their culture was different, and then some of them in the other countries that we preached in, and that we left that country and went to another country, they were even driving on the wrong side of the road. Thinking the steering wheel was on the wrong side of the road too, on the wrong side of the vehicle. I'm just saying. So when I was at the hotel, I purposely did not unpack all of my luggage. I only took out the suit, whatever I was wearing, the shoes, and left the rest of the stuff in there. And they were like, saying, are you going to unpack? I was like, one reason is because I wasn't a citizen of that country. You know, I had to get a passport to go to that particular country. So I'm not a citizen. So I'm not going to be there long. So this place is not my home. And God reminded me, just like that place wasn't your home, you were there on assignment. Can I let you all know that you're only here on this earth on a temporary assignment? You can go through all the other stuff you want to do, but you're only here on a temporary assignment. Thank you, God. And some of y'all ain't been busy doing what he assigned you to do. Well. You're only a temporary assignment, so I reminded, I say, hey, this place is not my home. I'm a pilgrim. I'm a stranger. Now, we can enjoy the amenities of the hotel and all that stuff because they have some good stuff. But don't get it twisted. We're not to get comfortable down here. I love Paul, and this is my second closing, so I'm about to wrap. He says, Paul, love this passage. Blesses me so much. He was getting ready to check out, and he says he'd done what God placed him on the earth to do, changed his life and done what God asked him to do. And he says this, as for me, my life has already been poured out as a drink offering unto God. My life been poured out? I've been preaching now for about, I don't know, 30 something years, 40 years maybe. I feel like my life has been poured out to God and to folks. And he says, the time for my death is near. In other words, he says, I'm getting ready to get out of here. Check this out, this blows me away. He was writing these letters while people were plotting to kill him. They were getting ready to come in and to behead him, take his head off. But do you think he was trying to make deals for his head? He said, my life has been poured out like a drink offering unto God. My time of death or time of departure is near, and I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now laid up for me is a prize, a crown of righteousness from the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And he says, and the prize is not just for me, but for all those who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Not long after that, they came and arrested Paul and chopped his head off. And I know Pastor said, well, what kind of ending is that for you? You ended on high. How much higher can you get? Some say, well, poor Paul. As soon as his natural body was separated, you think he was gone? He lived more better than ever before. He had reached the day that he would say, God, I did your will. I'm ready for my crowning. I'm walking into eternity. What needs to happen to the church today is we need to get an eternal perspective. Get our eyes off the things that we see and put our eyes on the things that we don't see. Come on, give God a praise in the house. As you stand on your feet, come on, bless him real big. Bless him real big. I mean real big. He is God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I know that there will be some that will be offended by the fact that I'm talking about spiritual things. They want to embrace this world. But man, this world is not my home. Help me out, I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. How great is our God. Amazing reminder. Thank you, God. And Jesus wanted to remind us because we get busy doing so many other things. Can't get a witness. And we have to be reminded to get back to the place of our focus being on him. Thank you, Jesus. The day he was about be betrayed. Judas was coming and already made the deal. And can I let you know that some of us will be all upset because, well, this guy's going to betray me. It's just for a season. It's temporal. So-and-so don't like me. It don't matter. Do what God has called you to do. This one don't agree with me. So what? It's only for a... How many of you all have been to a funeral and it really brought a lot of thoughts to you? Can I let you know, if that person knew God, they only went to sleep. They only went to sleep. The scripture that we read, and I'm done, I'm trying to do this. The scripture we read and focus on that says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Do you know what that sandwich between? The other part says that, talks about this body being a tent, a temporary tent. Then it says after that, to be absent from God, to be absent from the body, is to be, thank you, God. I got to tell y'all this because you don't know how much longer you have on this earth. The worst thing in the world for somebody to just tell you everything good and let you go to hell. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't leave this place without receiving Him. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you for your love and kindness. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to show us how to have an eternal perspective. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to die for us when we couldn't pay the price. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement, our peace was placed upon Him. By His stripes, we're healed. Thank you, God, that we're the benefactor of His sufferings. So, Father, we thank you.